Well, hi. I guess the spotlight's not going to follow me, is it? I'm such a pacer when I tell stories. Okay, so I grew up going to church. I don't know if any of you had that experience. It's pretty common. You're a child, and your parents are like, this is what we're going to do. So you're like, okay, let's go. And many people, when they're children, I think they go, but they only go for as long as they have to go. Because they don't want to be there, forced activity. I was not one of those children. I really, truly believed everything that I was told. I went to a place called Grace Fellowship Church, started going in Roland Park, went eventually to Timonium, and I had these very firm beliefs. Beliefs including there's a heaven and a hell. Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. And I think perhaps the most important one was that the Bible is the Word of God. And these beliefs really fundamentally impacted my life. They impacted my decisions. I didn't drink. You know, while many people that I knew were going to parties and, you know, doing some stuff. Not me. Sex before marriage? Oh, no. Not okay. And so it was impacting my life. And I did the middle school program. I did the high school program. And I went to University of Maryland College Park, and I got involved in ministry there. And it was going good. Until this one fateful day, I was working at the Maryland Science Center. If anybody, any Science Center fans? A couple? Good? Good? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, science. Science got him. Not true. Simply setting the context. I was at the Maryland Science Center in the break room, I believe, and I found a copy of a book. It's a book that is somewhat obscure. It's called The Da Vinci Code. It's sort of a historical thriller. Daniel Brown. And I read this book. And at the beginning of the book, there are these two particular sections. There's one section where it's an acknowledgement section where Daniel Brown thanks a number of prestigious historical societies for their help in his research to make the book complete. And then there is another page which talks about the Opus Dei, which is the secret Vatican Catholic sect, very mysterious, and it talks about how that's right, too. Everything in the book is right about that as well. And so it seems like, okay, this is historically accurate. I'm going to learn something. Let's do some learning. So I read the book, and I don't know if anyone here has read that book, but it doesn't really jibe with the sort of conventional, traditional Christian beliefs, and my foundation was a little bit shaken. So I said, no, aha, I'm going to read a book about this book, about the historical accuracy. And I did some research. I realized, you know what, there's a number of these books out there, many of them written by Christian authors. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read a secularly written book I don't know why I decided to do that, but I did. Bart Ehrman wrote a book that has a very long title, which I don't remember. But it's all about many of the things talked about in the Da Vinci Code. So I read that book, and I found out that Daniel Brown, basically, when writing the Da Vinci Code, he was like, no, I'm going to change that about history and name it something different and not historically accurate. But I learned some other things. And I think the most important one was how the Bible was created. And if you are not familiar with this, it's really interesting stuff. There was an assembly of people, and there were all of these possible books that could be included in the Bible. And some of them made the cut, and some of them didn't make the cut. And just that fact alone started this seed of doubt. And I think maybe I was just kind of hoping that the Bible had been found in like a shining cave and placed there by angels, and I didn't want to think about it. But I read this part, and I thought, well, huh, that for me, maybe that's, I don't know if that makes sense to me. I don't know. And it started me down this path where other questions were involved too, like, how do you know when God answers a prayer? Because all the time in church, people are like, God, thank you so much. We prayed it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. Thank you for doing that. It's like, how did you know God did that? Maybe it just didn't rain. And things like how many times people I knew, including myself, would pick and choose parts of the Bible that we were going to emphatically, just passionately believe in, and other parts we're just going to ignore. But it's the Word of God, and so how do you just pick and choose? So there are these questions, and it's questions that anyone going down a path where they kind of already know where the path is going to lead, you ask these questions, you know there's no good response for these questions. You know there's nothing that is going to satisfy you, because ultimately you've kind of already figured out where you're going to end up. And over about a year, this was my junior year of college, I sort of transitioned away. Is that five? Sweet. So I transitioned away, and this had a couple of pretty serious ramifications. The first and the most immediate one was that the girl who I was dating at the time, we'd been dating for about a little over 3 years. When we started dating, I was very Christian, she not Christian. And I don't want to say it was only me, but I'd like to think that I had a pretty significant part converting her to Christianity. No big deal. Trouble now, though, because me, not Christian anymore. So I don't know if you've ever tried to change the mind of someone who has a belief about something. A really good way to do it is to go with the direct reasoning approach. Try to be combative. And really, it works. Try it later tonight. It's great. So she kept hoping I was going to change my mind. I kept thinking, surely she's going to change her mind. She breaks up with me. Crushing heartbreak. I know. It's for the best. Don't worry. Second. Okay, maybe a year or so later, my parents have figured out I'm not going to church anymore. And my parents are fundamentalist, I guess. And we sort of amble into this conversation, not a conversation I intended, but a conversation where all of a sudden we're sort of debating, pseudo-debating. And I can tell that in this conversation, I don't want to say I've planted a seed of doubt, but I feel like, at least my impression is that they're sort of, maybe, possibly in the tiniest way, open to listening to what I'm saying. And I have this feeling of, what am I doing? Because my parents are in their 60s, they're getting older, and they have been very involved with the church, and it's this huge source of happiness for them. And now all of a sudden, I'm sort of starting to rattle the door, if that's an expression, which I don't think it is. And so I cut that off. That was a change for me. When I first sort of fell away, I wanted to change other people's minds too. But I realized that that's not any. No one is better off usually. People who have signs that say God hates fags, those people are better off when they stop, in my opinion. But for the most part, nobody really wins in those scenarios. And I realized that Christianity really contributed to me and my identity in a big way and had a lot of positive things. I think it really helped my courage to an extent. I don't know if you've ever tried to proselytize to someone. That's a fun thing to do. Really fun. It helped with my self-discipline in a number of areas, and it showed me the world. I got to go on all these missions trips. I got to go to Kyrgyzstan for 2 weeks. I didn't even know it was a country. It is. And I was there for 2 weeks. I have a book here. I was going to hold this book up and say, The Da Vinci Code. It's old news. So there was a number of really good benefits, and I think probably the conversation where I really realized this the most, in fact, it was a number of conversations, was with my ex-girlfriend. And we would have this conversation where Christianity would come up, and she would say, I don't understand how anyone can believe that. And I would say, well, you know, you believe that there is this omniscient, omnipresent deity that loves you and has this plan for your life, and that even when bad things happen, there's a reason for it, and it's very comforting. And she would say, "But it's so stupid." And I would say, "I don't think we're communicating. You know, it's not We're not doing it here. And so I realized that even though it's something that it was a part of my life that was very significant, and I'm out of it, it really played a huge role. And I don't regret it. I'm glad I went through it. I hold no judgment against people who are still in that phase of their life, and maybe they always will be. And I have great respect for those people, but it's not for me anymore, but I'm glad I did it. So thank you very much.